Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
And a lunch hour. Excited to spend our lunch hour together on Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, we've had some crazy weather all over the country this past week. And here in the Big D of Dallas, we experienced all four seasons in one day, ending the week with snow, sleet, and ice. And as I was driving 2.5 hours for a 20-minute trip with the road shut down, people driving white-knuckled, and those amazing drivers that think passing you in treacherous road conditions is a smart move, it got me to thinking about those that are doers and those that are planners. So which drivers had the vision to take the back roads instead of trying to get on the super slick highways? And which drivers forced their cars to stop 1 inch behind you while you hope they didn't skid into you? And which drivers had the plan that included not even leaving their homes, knowing that they could get things done in a much safer environment? And believe it or not, that's what we're going to talk about today. No, not the weather, the importance of strategy and planning. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not the strategist. I'm the implementer, but I do understand that in every business, whether you're a coach, a speaker, an author, or have a brick-and-mortar store, you have to do strategic planning. And I am married to the greatest strategic thinker that there is, and when he wants to, quote-unquote, chat about my business, I cringe. Now, I know we need to, and I know it's the best thing to do, and I know that your business will thrive when you have a plan in place, but it's painful for me. The truth of the matter is that in order for a business to be successful, there needs to be a roadmap for success. And a strategic plan helps you to provide direction and focus. So when you're taking a road trip and you look at the map, it'll take you from point A to point B. And your goal is to arrive safely and make stops along the way to eat, get gas, and just take a break so that you're not falling asleep while driving. And you have some specific results that you want to make sure you're covering on this trip, and you're creating your action plan for achieving them. Well, that's what a strategic plan will do for your business. You have an idea, goals, results, and of course, a course of action. It's pretty simple, even for me when I break it down like that. Now, if you have a personal board of directors that can give you feedback on your plan and you incorporate some of that into it, well, it's even better. It's always good to bounce off ideas from someone that has the experience and the expertise that you just might need. Okay, so now you have your plan developed. The next step is to make a commitment to follow it through, and that's where the implementer shines. You can create a great plan and then add it to the pile of other great plans on your desk, and what will the implementer have to implement? Now, if you have a team that you work with, it would be great to share that plan so that they know what the expectations are and how the team's values and goals are in alignment. Now, I've been told that a good strategic plan looks out over 2 to 5 years and describes in detail how that business will grow and prosper over the period of time. Now, remember, this is not instead of your vision board, because that's a tool that many entrepreneurs use to keep their vision in front of them at all times using both the text and pictures. This is a real plan written out in detail with a step-by-step strategy to follow. Now, if you're confusing this with a leather-bound 200-page document, stop right there. This can be as simple as a one-page description, but it's written out in detail. Or maybe it's a PowerPoint deck of slides, if that makes you more comfortable. It needs to cover where you want to go, how to address and overcome challenges and goals and expectations of everyone involved. And for women, we face three major challenges: focusing on priorities, inspiring commitment from ourselves and our team, and accountability. Now, having a strategic plan in place, you and your team will stay focused on the most important priorities. If your team has helped to create the plan, they're more likely to carry it out. And there's no guessing when goals and expectations are written out and presented. So let me give you 10 steps to create a strategic plan that won't be difficult to do, even for me. That's my kind of plan. Step 1, what makes you the best? Think about it. What can your business do that you can potentially do better than any other company? Why are you in business? You have to understand what brings customers to you rather than your competitors. Put this into your mission statement, which brings me to step 2. State your purpose. What are you planning to offer your clients? To write a mission statement, you should answer these questions. What's your business? What are you trying to accomplish for your customers? And what's your reason for existing as a company? Okay, step 3. How do you see your future? This is the vision that you and your company are heading towards. What's the area that you want to focus on, and what's the market space you want to occupy? To write a vision statement, you should answer the questions. What will our business look like in 2 to 5 years from now? Step 4, it's time for SWOT. You need to look at your company's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and think about what you do best and where there are opportunities to do even better. Step 5, what's the solution your customers are looking for? In other words, what can you give them that your competition can't? Think about who your customer is and really describe them in detail. What makes you unique in their mind as it pertains to the solution that they're looking for? Step 6, take your goals and objectives and write them down. In almost every part of your business, you've probably heard to come up with your goals and write them down. When they're written, they change from fantasy to reality. A word of caution, though, don't identify 10 goals. Keep it to 3 so that you have the ability to not only reach your goals, but to exceed them. With each goal, come up with 3 objectives to give you the action needed to reach the goal. Don't forget to use SMART when you create your goals: specific, measurable, achievable, results-oriented, and time-conscious. And build on the strengths and recognize your threats as opportunities for further growth. Step 7, who or what are your resources? Once you have your goals and objectives identified, do you have your resources in place? Do you have enough resources to follow through? Review and redefine if necessary. Step 8, take action. Okay, all you implementers, this is where you come in. Take the to-do list of goals and objectives and let's get cracking. Which ones have your name on it? Which are you outsourcing? What's the action plan you'll be responsible for? Good idea to put them in writing. Step 9, review your goals. While we talk about our goals being measurable, the secret is to review them on a regular basis. Now, if you're ahead of the game, keep going. If you're behind the eight ball, you may need to call in some assistance. And step 10, strategy is your friend, so don't put it on a shelf until someone reminds you that it's there. Have a positive relationship with it and find the support you need to make this part of your business. If you don't have that personal board of directors to hold you accountable, it may be time to put one together. You can always be as fortunate as I am and have a colonel who is ready with a whiteboard, a flip chart, and markers at a moment's notice. Whatever you decide to do, do something. Remember, hope is not a strategy. As Herb Kelleher, the co-founder of Southwest Airlines, said, we have a strategic plan. It's called doing things. When we come back, you'll hear from my first expert who has been dubbed the Business Doctor. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, if you want to join the discussion today, just call in to 347-989-1363 and press 1 and you will get on our show. Okay, time to bring in my first expert, and I am so glad that she is a major strategist, Dr. Donna Thomas-Rogers. Dr. Donna has over 20 years of leadership experience and has served as a private first class to a commissioned officer in the military. After performing her military duties, she worked her way up to the ranks to C-level suites. These experiences have allowed her to strategically, hear the word, strategically solve problems at all levels in an organization. As a commissioned military police officer, she managed millions of dollars of assets and equipment and led over 2,500 soldiers without any casualties. After transitioning to a management role at Frito-Lay, Dr. Donna continued to perform at a high level. She personally supervised over 500 employees, managed $20 million in company assets, and trained corporate team members at the national level in safety, continuous improvement, and performance-based training. Currently, Dr. Donna is a tactical strategist. She works with business owners and professionals using military tactics, corporate strategies to grow, scale, and increase profits to establish a competitive advantage in the marketplace. She was given the title The Business Doctor by Shark Tank's Kevin Harrington. So welcome to the show, Dr. Donna. I'm excited to have you there. And first thing I want to say is thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here. This is awesome. I loved your monologue. It was amazing and so on point. It was awesome.
Yay! Yay! The strategist tells the implementer she's awesome.
Yes. The first step in, for any strategy is admitting that you need a strategist. That's awesome. And then you married one, so you can wake up every day next
That's
to the
right.
answers. That's cool.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking about the importance of having a strategic plan for your business. So let's talk about why is it so important, no matter how big or small your business is, to have something put in place?
Well, the reason why it's so important is because how do you know if you're successful? How do you know if you're getting there? How do you know what's going on? If you don't have a plan in place, there are no measuring tools. And as you mentioned in your monologue, when you have goals and objectives, you need to make sure that they're smart so that you can measure your success. And if you need to make any adjustments as you go along, you can't do that without a plan. Every business needs a plan. I actually am teaching a class to the new business owners here in Las Vegas for the next 6 weeks, a marketing partner and myself. And the thing that we're finding out is that most people get in business, they're very creative, and they say, oh, I can bake cakes, so I'm going to open a bakery. And then they realize that they're going to spend about 10% of their time baking a cake and 90% of their time running a business. And you have to have a strategy in place if you want to maintain your profits and stay in business longer than 2 to 5 years.
Okay, so no matter what, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter what, whether you're by yourself, you're an entrepreneur, solopreneur, no matter what, you need to have some kind of a plan, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And the reason why you have to have that plan is because it's going to get, as you know, you've been in business for a long time, things are going to get tough. And if you don't have a plan to revert back to and you can't understand why you're doing this, or you have a competitor that's bigger, badder, bolder that comes in and you don't have a plan to fall back on, you're going to find yourself going, oh, no, what do I do now? And the last thing you want to do is panic because you haven't planned properly.
So when you put this plan in place, is it a guarantee that your business is going to grow, or is
No.
it more of let's review and let's redirect and change a course of action if we have to?
Well, obviously the statistics are 8 out of 10 small businesses are going to fail, and that's just the dynamics of it, because most people think and one of my favorite books, and I know you have a book club on your website, one of the books that I always recommend to small business owners is The E-Myth Revisited by Michael
mm-hmm.
Gerber.
Totally.
Because it actually explains that we're all entrepreneurs, technicians, and managers. And what happens with most small business owners is they become a technician. And a technician is the person that's doing the day-to-day work. They're the ones making sure the pies are baked, cutting the grass, writing the code, whatever it is. And you cannot have that person running the organization, because that is why most small businesses fail. The person that should be in charge isn't in charge. Well, when you sit down with a detailed plan, now you know who's running it day-to-day. The manager is counting all the beans, and the entrepreneur is the visionary that's keep moving the business forward. Most small business owners are looking for the next lead, the next client, and they aren't thinking 2 to 5 years ahead. And so they look up, like here in Las Vegas, 2008 and 2009 hit, and everybody just lost their mind because all of their money was in construction and in the housing industry. And it was a very tough time. So when you have a plan B, or you have a secondary plan or another sigmoid curve to keep you going, then that helps with it. It doesn't guarantee success, but it sure as heck makes it easier when those adversities strike.
Okay, so you and I both know that to be an entrepreneur, you have to be somewhat of a risk taker, because otherwise,
yes,
you know, it doesn't work. But if you have a strategy that you're working with, does that mean that you don't take any risks?
Oh, no. I'm so glad. I literally challenge everybody to take at least one risk a day. And the reason why is because if you only take a risk, say you take a risk once a year, and you decide, okay, I'm going to go talk to a Fortune 100 company or a Fortune 500 company, the rest of the 364 days out of the year, you're operating from a fear-based mentality. So the more risk you take, the less fear you actually have, and it increases your confidence. So you need to be taking small risk. And I always tell my clients, there's a difference between being risky and taking a risk. Being risky is you're going to drive 70 miles an hour on the snow and ice that you all just experienced in Dallas. That's dumb, and that's risky. Taking a risk means that this client that you've been afraid to call for 2 years, you're going to actually pick up the phone, get past the gatekeeper, and actually set up a meeting with them. And even if something as small as when you go to your favorite restaurant, you know how some people order the exact same thing every time they go? Just go to the other side of the menu. Order a salad and soup, or order chicken instead of steak. Because what happens is adults want to be comforted. Most people do. And so what happens is you get in your comfort zone and you think, okay, well, if I take a risk, what if I fail? It's okay. I mean, Edison failed 10,000 times before he figured out how to get the filament correctly in a light bulb. So life is about experiencing, breaking out of those comfort zones, and taking those risks and having the strategies in place. These are calculated risks, obviously, but they're risks nonetheless, and everybody needs to take a risk at least once a day.
So then we need to embrace risks. But now you have a different definition of risk that you use as an acronym, and it's different than, you know, most people. So can you share what your risk means?
My risk means reviving inner self-confidence. And what happened was I actually almost died in 2007. I had a near-death experience. I spent 13 days in the hospital, and I lost 18 pounds. And I'm small to begin with, so I just looked very emaciated. It was awful. But as I laid in that hospital bed, and I couldn't eat, and I couldn't drink anything, I just could sit there and watch cable, I asked God. Prior to that, I led a very safe life outside of my military experience. And then I just asked and I prayed, and I said, if I get out of this bed, I promise you I'm going to live life, and I'm going to do something big every single day. I'm going to take a risk. And so how I came up with the risk reviving inner self-confidence is because when you don't have self-confidence, you can't take a risk. So if you take a risk, you're increasing your self-confidence every single day. So you're almost like you're getting a defibrillator and you're going, pow, clear. And now you can take risk, and now you feel revived from the inside out. Because if you think about it, when you're taking a risk, I mean, that adrenaline is flowing through your body, and you feel alive, and you feel amazing. And that's not something that you have to wait until Saturday to experience. You can experience it today, Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, because that's where the creativity comes. That's where you're in touch with everything that's going on in your life and in your business, and it allows you to create bigger, better, bolder, badder things.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Okay, so your company is called Answers Are Us, which I also love. And you talk about the fact that business is a battlefield and you need the best tactics and strategies to win. So let's talk about why it's considered a battlefield and how we get to make it work around that.
Actually, I'm glad you asked that question. I am reading 100 books in a year, and I've challenged people that follow me to do the same. And last week's book that we read was The Art of War. Mm-hmm. And because I was a military police officer, people thought, oh, my goodness, that's terrible. Why would you think of business as war? You're going to kill your competition. And it's not about that. It is about you and your own particular battle in your industry. For example, market share. I mean, we could all act like we don't care about market share, but Wall Street exists because of market share. Well, aren't you, when I worked at Frito-Lay, aren't we battling Snyder's and other local brands for space on the battlefield, and that battlefield just happens to be an Albertsons or a Publix? When you think with a competitive mindset that you want to win in business, that's a battle. Even if it's a battle within inside of yourself, it's still a battle. So you have to think strategically. When you're looking at the terrain, whether it's retail, whether it's internet marketing, whether it's social media, those are all battles. Celebrities go through Twitter wars with each other, or I have the most followers on Instagram. So we are being competitive, and that's what battle is all about. It's I want to compete, and I want to win, and I want to be the best. Like you said, in number one and number two, state your purpose, what's your mission, and what makes you better, because we are competing for the same client, for the same customers. Walmart is competing for Target customers, even though they might have a different target market, they still want people to come in the store and purchase. And that's where the battlefield concept comes. You need to look at your area, look at the terrain, assess where you're going, what is your profit system, are you down, are you below target, are you above target, and how do you stay in the number one spot? All of that are basic traits when you're in battle.
So, and I do believe that people, even when they say they're not competitive, they are competitive, and it could be how many likes do I have, or I make a post and how many people are, you know, liking it or sharing it. So as silly as it sounds, everybody is competitive, so it is sort of like a battlefield, and you're just trying to see who, you know, who comes up with the flag on the top of the hill.
Yes, and some people were like, well, you're trying to say kill people and be mean, and I'm like, no, that is not what it's metaphoric, it's not physical, you're not going to go. Sam Walton, if he was still alive, would not be trying to go up and beat the owner of JCPenney's. They wouldn't be fighting in the middle of cornfield. That just wouldn't happen. But this is, you are fighting to get to your, you're fighting and competing to get to your goals. That's the reality of the situation. So how do you do it successfully? And I'm very spiritual as well, so this isn't about, okay, well, who do I get to take down? Sometimes your unique selling point, as Wayne Gretzky says, I skate to where the puck is going. So sometimes you look for where there is an actual void in the marketplace, and you fill that void. And if you're filling that void, for example, like Uber and Airbnb, they just did what's called a market disruption. They totally changed the game for the hotel and the taxi industry. And they didn't. They're just saying, hey, this is an easier way to get to where you're doing. And now taxi cabs can't do long hauling anymore, and hotels can't jack up prices because the Super Bowl is in their town. So it's just things like that that you can do as well, and that's battling. That's winning battles, and so that you can ultimately win the war.
Okay, so let's go that route for just a moment. So if something is not in the marketplace and you find that this is a great void and that you're going to fill it, is it always something, do you know, I think what happens sometimes is people assume because there's nothing there, it has to be like a winner. But there's also sometimes there's reasons why there's something that's not there, and it's because there is no real market for it. So what do you tell your clients when they come up with this idea and you're thinking, did you even like do any kind of market research?
Right, and that's what, and they talk about that in the E-Myth, which is, again, why I say that people should read that book, is because you start at the customer. Most people think, I make great apple pies. But if you live in a climate where apples don't even grow and it's very hard to get apples there because you might be on an island, then that's not a good – even if you can make the best apple pie, but if you're not going to be able to sell it and the customers don't want it, then it's off or not. So what you want to do is actually look and do market research and see where there's either a problem that you can solve, as you mentioned during your monologue, or there is a gap in the marketplace. Spanx is a great example of that. What woman wants to keep walking around with her grandma's girdle on? Just like, no, I want to have on white pants, and I don't want a line, and I won't. We know what that line is. I want it to look smooth, and I don't want you to see my dimples. I don't want to see when I'm leaving. So she came up with Spanx, and she just cut pantyhose, and it was a great industry, and now she's a billionaire because of that. So it's really saying, looking at your friends, looking in the market, thinking about the things that cause you problems, and then do the market research to see on a small level if this is something that can actually grow, as I talk about, and scale so that you can increase your profits. And not everything is a great idea. I mean, like selling fur coats in Las Vegas in July is not a good idea because, I mean, there's never a time when we actually – I have fur coats and I put them on because the weather just doesn't dictate that. So it's a great idea, but you're solving a problem or creating a product that is going to be useful. If you start with the customer and work your way backwards, you're going to be much more successful than having a great idea because you and your friends were sitting around having a cup of tea.
Absolutely. Okay, so you have a book, which, again, I love the title, Real Leaders Wear Pink, and that's so opposite talking about battlefield. I mean, real leaders wear camo. Maybe it's pink camo. But so talk to us about what this actually is putting out there for the women in the universe.
Well, actually, real and pink are acronyms. And so real stands for realistic, effective, authentic, and leader-led. And then pink stands for powerful, innovative, natural, and knowledgeable. And the reason why I wrote the book was because I was a young second lieutenant in 1900. I I was reading Colin Powell's book, which is 600 and something pages, and I thought, wow, I'm going to get some infinite wisdom from Colin Powell. And about 430 pages into it, it wasn't working for me. And then I had to come to grips with, he became a second lieutenant and a leader during Vietnam. And he, by the time I came on the scene, he was already promoted and had done all these great, wonderful things. And so the information just wasn't valuable for me as a female military police officer. So at that moment, I thought about, okay, there needs to be a leadership guide where it can be simple. 600 pages is too much. You need to be able to pick up a book, and if you need to learn how to be effective, it's 3 pages with a story and an exercise to tell you how to be effective. If you need to know how to resolve conflict very quickly, that's what you need to do. So it's more like a guide and less like a book that you need to read from cover to cover. It actually has multiple topics within those 8 acronyms that you can use. How do you become technically competent? When do you ask questions? How do you become a more effective listener? How do you leverage the experts? Setting expectations and holding people accountable. You mentioned that in your monologue as well. So the things that you need to do very quickly, it's instant success. So you can read this, apply it now, and get a result instantaneously without having to wait a year, 2 years, or for the market to shift. But you can literally use these leadership skills and tools right then and there.
Awesome. So tell me, Dr. Donna, who is your market? Who is the, you know, your, if you could make it a perfect description, who would your market be?
My target market is actually small business owners, 15 to 75 employees, and they range between $500,000 and $3 million in gross revenue annually. That's my perfect happy spot where I just get all excited and jump up and down.
Okay. Well, that's good. And you know, and it's always interesting when somebody says, well, they're between this dollar amount and that dollar amount. And so my question to you is, how do you know? So when you're in a networking event, how do you know that this person is between, you know, 17 employees and, you know, X amount of millions of dollars? How do you know that?
Well, how I know is, for me, that target market doesn't necessarily end up at a networking event. They actually send their gatekeepers to networking events because they're off running the business, working on the business and not in the business. So normally I don't attend as many networks as most people because if you think about it, I'm the business doctor. So how many times are you at an event and you run into a medical doctor, say, for example, a cardiothoracic surgeon? They're not necessarily in those modalities. So what I do is I actually, a lot of my business comes from third-party endorsements. And when I'm just at other simple events, I could be out at dinner and the person sitting next to me happens to be my target market. But for people who are networking, and I've written a blog about networking before, when you're at a networking event, you're going in the room and 2 things are going to happen. You're either making a conversation or an affiliation. And I have 3 questions that I just typically just enter into the conversation that allows me to understand who this person is, whether they're a gatekeeper or the person that I need to talk to, and then I go from there. So I say, oh, my goodness, what brought you to this event? How simple is that, right? And they're going to say, well, my boss told me to come, or I'm the CEO of whatever, or I'm the VP of marketing, and that's why I'm here. And then I say, oh, my goodness, so do you know whoever is putting the event on? And then they'll say, well, yeah, I'm a member of the chamber, or no, I'm not, or I just came, this is my first day, so no, I don't know anybody. Do you know anybody? And then from there, I'll just say, oh, okay, well, let's just talk. Let's just have a conversation. And then from that conversation, they will give what I call free information. And at that point, I'm using the free information to slowly find out about them. Because people go on networking events and they're throwing cards at you. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm at a blackjack table at one of the casinos because they're just card. And in that moment, it's like, if you're going to enter into business with this person or take it to the next level, you need to know, like, and trust them. And that comes about from just having a natural, normal, easy conversation. And then after we've talked for a couple of minutes, then they'll say, or I'll say, okay, well, I don't want to hold you hostage. I know you came here to take care of whatever we talked about in the conversation. And then I'll say, I'll be in touch. I'll follow up. Let's do coffee. And go from there. But that has been the most effective way for me when I've been at networking events.
Right, right. It's more of a conversation than, like I said before, like an interrogation. And it's always funny because I had an agent that worked for me that would do walking and talking, and he would go in and out of businesses. And the only question he would ask is, are you the happy owner? And he'd get one of 2 responses, actually 3. One would say, yes, I am. One would say, ugh, not really. And the other would say, no, I'm not the owner, but the owner's over there. So it would always, you know, in a, it's the same kind of feeling. Okay, I know we're going to run out of time soon, and I want to get to this because I think this is important. You have a, you offer virtual consulting. Talk about how that works and who is it for.
Okay, virtual consulting is actually for people that are not located here locally in Las Vegas, and they are in need of expert advice, and they don't have a lot of time, and they want answers. So what that is we virtually communicate with each other. You have a certain number of 15 emails a month, and then you get weekly conference calls with me, either virtually, so we're looking at each other from a video teleconference perspective, or we're actually on the phone. And what that does, you also get the one-hour discovery meeting where we analyze everything that's going on with your business so that we can set up a strategy for you to move your business into the next level so it can grow, scale, and you can increase profits. And the reason how this product came about was because people would come and visit Las Vegas and they would say, oh, my goodness, I want to work with you, but I don't live here. Oh, man, how are we going to stay connected? And so that's where the idea came from, is because when you're busy, as you know, when you're focused on a goal, you don't have time, 2 or 3 hours, to sit down and sit up here and continue to go over strategies. And if you're not married to someone with a whiteboard closet that can pull it out, then we can virtually pull out the whiteboard and strategize very quickly to get you the answers that you need, and so you can continue to move forward and accomplish your goals and objectives. So this month, it's a $200 discount. It's normally $497 a month. For the whole entire month of March, it's actually $297.
Okay, perfect. Now, how can people find out about it and stay connected with you?
Okay, if they go to answersrus.com, they can go to the virtual consulting. It's under Fast Results, and they will be able to sign up for it there. They just fill out the form, and a staff member will contact them and get everything set up. And that's answers, answersrus.com. Answersrus.com. We get results fast.
Okay, and we're going to make sure that's all over social media. Well, Dr. Donna, I want to thank you for joining me today because you gave me a whole new perspective to strategy that I'm sure will help both me, my listeners, and, of course, the Colonel. So I want to
thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you so much. You're awesome, and I love selling in a skirt. It's amazing. Great concept.
Thank you so much. And we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsor, The Report for Women, which is an important resource for women in business. Check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com, and it is an amazing website. It will automatically update when you save it to your favorite places. Now, if you're ready to watch your business get some amazing buzz, become one of our sponsors. Go to www.sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com, click on the sponsor tab, and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, this is the time where I remind you to get access with all of us on Tough Talk Radio. So simply like us on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. You can be my friend on Facebook at Judy Hoberman, and of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. Don't forget that all the shows are on iTunes, so simply go to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com, click on the icon, and there you be. Okay, time for my next amazing guest, who also is a major strategist with her business, Julianne Eason. Julie has been a professional writer for over 20 years. After figuring out that the fiction writing wasn't for her, she turned to freelance journalism and copywriting for a living. As technology advanced, she witnessed the balance of power in the publishing industry shift. Once the big New York publishers held all the cards, but writers were lucky if they could land an agent or a book contract. But now individuals are taking the initiative and writing, publishing, and marketing their own books without the need for an agent or publisher to give them a chance, which means that finally businesses, nonprofits, and entrepreneurs can take advantage of the amazing power of books. Today, she ghostwrites full-length books for entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, CEOs, and other business people who want to expand their reach and build their brands. And most recently, she's combined her love for marketing and writing to create the Successful Author Podcast, where she interviews book industry experts on writing, publishing, and marketing books. So welcome to the show, Julie. I'm excited to share the mic with you and glad that you have your strategy in place for your business.
Hi, Judy. It's so wonderful to be here. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. So today we are talking about having a strategic plan in place. And I just want to know, what are your thoughts about it? Do you think it's something that every business, no matter how big or small, needs to have?
A strategic plan or a book?
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes, absolutely. A strategic plan is just, I mean, it's hard to know where you're going if you don't have a roadmap, right? It's one thing to say you want to get across the country and you start out where I am in Maine and I want to drive to San Diego. It's great to say, okay, I'm going to head west, but if you have a plan in place and you say, I'm going to take this highway and I'm going to stop here overnight, and, you know, it's just so much easier to know that you're getting where you need to go when you have a strategic plan in place. And one of the things that I love doing is helping people put books as part of their strategic plan, at least in terms of their marketing. Whether they are brand new, starting out, and they need a book to establish their credibility and establish their leadership, or whether they've already been in business for a long time, they're very successful, and they want to help others reach the same levels of success, or perhaps bring customers and clients in. So they all kind of work together, and absolutely, strategic plans are the thing that you need to have at least partially written down. I don't know about you, but I know that there's not, you know, I don't know everything that's going to happen in the future, but I can at least plan out a few steps.
Right, and I think that's the important part, because even as a solopreneur, you have to have something written so you can refer to it and say, whoa, I am way off course, or I'm smack on. It, you know, just depends on what it is. But, you know, you talk about that if you're in business, you need to have a solid writer on your side. So when we talk about strategic planning, should that book and that writer be part of your plan?
I don't think that it necessarily has to be a separate writer. You can be the writer if you choose to be, but you definitely need somebody who can communicate well. I've noticed over the past 20 years that communication has changed dramatically because of technology. Mainly, we just don't have the attention spans that we used to. We're torn from family to business to our hobbies and everything that we have to take care of, and communication. You've got to be able to get your message across as quickly as possible and as easily as possible. And the way that we're taught to write in high school, or even, you know, before, even in college, is academic writing. It's a different style of writing, and it doesn't necessarily get the point across. So when I say you need to have a writer, it needs to be someone in your organization. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's a ghostwriter. Maybe it's someone that is on your team who can just get it, and they can communicate it, and they can say, yes, this is a problem we solve. Yes, this is going to help you solve your problem. Maybe you shouldn't be a client of ours. Maybe you should come over to our coaching side. Whatever you're trying to communicate, it needs to be done as quickly as possible and as straightforward as possible. And that means breaking rules, like grammar rules. It means writing in sentence fragments. It means talking or writing the way that we talk, and oftentimes, you know, we've been raised to write in a certain way, and it's like, oh, I can't do that. I can't start a sentence with and. I can't, you know, all of the mm-hmm. all the rules that we have in our heads from school have to go out the window. It's important to know them, and it's important to know why they're there. But there's so many times when you need to break them in search of clarity and speed of communication. So absolutely, having a writer on your team, whether it's you or somebody else, is really critical. And I think that when you're judging who should be that writer, it's not necessarily the person who has an English degree, because those people may not be able to write in the way that you need to communicate. So, you know, making sure that you take care of your clients and your customers, and make sure that you're actually getting them the information that they need in as easy a way as possible. Maybe the writer in your organization isn't who you thought it was.
Right, absolutely. And sometimes you just never know that there's a hidden writer in many of us.
Exactly.
So, yes. And you know, once you start, for me, when I was writing, you know, I had to write articles, and I had to write and I wrote books and everything. The hardest thing for me was either the first word or the first sentence. Once I mm-hmm. figured what out that was, then it just started flowing. And sometimes it took me, you know, a while to come up with that. But let me ask you a question about having a book and everything. Do you think that having a book makes you an expert in your field, or is that just what people say it does?
I think they go hand in hand. I don't think having a book necessarily makes you an expert, but the word expert is loaded. You can be an expert and not know everything about your industry. This is one of the things that stops people from writing books, is they mm-hmm. think that they have to know everything. They have to have been in the field for 50 years, and, you know, there's always, oh, but so-and-so knows more about this. I'm not an expert. They're the expert. One of my favorite mentors likes to say that a fifth grader is an expert to a third grader. You know, I mean, you, even if you are just starting out, if you know certain things and you are helping people and you're running a business and you are offering services or products, then you know something about that topic. So to someone, you are an expert, and you have the right to share that expertise in a book so that they can consume it in the way that they want to consume it. So I don't think that just because you have a book makes you an expert, but I think that you have to own being an expert yourself and say, yes, I am an expert in selling real estate, or I am an expert in baking birthday cakes. Maybe I'm not, you know, the world's greatest expert at baking birthday cakes, but I know enough that I can put out a book. And to someone, you are an expert when they read that book. We tend to discount, especially women, we discount what we know, and we discount that it's important and that other people don't know it. If it's easy to us, we figure everybody knows it, right? But that's not the case. Most of the time I found that there are so many people who would love to know what you know. And even if they could go get it from another expert, they want to hear it from you, because different experts speak in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So do you think that when you have a book, it changes the way you do business?
I think it changes the way you feel about yourself. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that it sets you up on another level, and it sets you up as, you know, we like to say positioning, right? It positions you as an expert. But it changes who you are, because you have a forward-facing, publicly available, readily accessible piece of literature. You know, it is literature. It's one thing to say, oh, you can find my information on my website or my blog, or maybe I have a YouTube channel. But that's not the same in people's heads as a book, because we've all been raised and as children that reading is the most important thing. Like, our parents told us this, our teacher told us this. The first really important grown-up job that we do as people is learn how to read, at least in this country. So, you know, books have this level of importance in our psyche that is so much different than a YouTube channel. I mean, you know, we don't teach our two-year-olds, oh, you have to learn how to watch YouTube. No, we say you have to read. You have to learn how to read. This is an important skill. You have to learn how to do this. And so I think that it changes how you feel about yourself. It changes when you are an author, you are the creator of a book. It is something that is very, very important as a culture. And so, yeah, it does change the way you do business. It allows you to reach more people it allows you to bring complete strangers who never would have met you any other way, except that their grandmother passed this cool book on to their best friend whose aunt gave it to somebody else who ends up being your client. Right? You can't control where a book goes, and that's a good thing. And so you get to market your business and market your expertise and reach people that you never would have had access to any other way.
Absolutely. Now, and it's interesting that you and I are talking today, because today is Read Across America Day. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I should
and
know
it
that,
also,
but I
yeah, and it coincides with the Dr. Seuss, whose birthday is tomorrow. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, there's just so many different avenues that you can take. And I do believe, I absolutely believe that everybody has a book inside them. But many people can't write a book, you know, and they always look for help doing that. So tell us, what is the job of a ghostwriter, and what's their role in helping to write a book?
Okay, so what I like to say is you are the author, and I am the writer. And it doesn't have to be the same thing. So the writer is someone who takes other people's materials and organizes it into the format that people expect to see in a book. And they organize information into stories. They organize information into a flow that makes sense. They organize nonfiction, like if it's a how-to book, they'll organize it into steps and exercises and things that people expect to see in a book. If you're an author, if you are the person, the business owner who is talking about selling real estate, for example, you have what you do. You have your expertise. You know how you do it, and you do it subconsciously. Like, it's just something you turn over and you do, and you don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what the ghostwriter's job is to take what you do and what you have to, in my case, what you have to sell, and wrap it all up into a book that's going to, number one, inform people, number two, possibly teach or entertain them, number three, encourage them to come to your business and hire you or buy your products or whatever it is that you're actually selling on the back end. When I talk about entrepreneurial writing, we're talking about people who are not necessarily looking to make money by selling books. They're looking to use the book as a marketing tool
mm-hmm.
that sells their products or their services. So the ghostwriter, my number one job is to take everything that's inside your head and everything you have on YouTube or maybe a bunch of podcasts that you have or some speaking videos that you have and arrange them into a product, a book, that's going to lead people down a path. They're going to lead people down the path of being a complete stranger to being an acquaintance to being interested in your services to your website where they're going to learn more about you and what they can purchase from you.
I always said that my book was more of a calling card because
mm-hmm.
I wanted to, you know, for the people that wouldn't have the opportunity to hear me speak or be my clients, you know, this was something that I wanted them to at least have access to. But have you ever had a client that really wanted to write a book, really did, but didn't even have an idea? What do you do?
I mean, you know. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And those are my favorite clients, honestly, because most of the time people come to me and they say, I know exactly what my book is about, and this is what it's about, and this is how it's going to start, and this is the title. They all know exactly what the title is. And so what I do is I say, well, tell me about your business, and tell me about your target market, and tell me about who is your ideal customer, and what is it that you're trying to sell, and what is the goal for this book. And after we talk about all of those things, we realize, oh, well, that's not the book that I thought I was going to write. I'm working with a man in Ireland right now who his goal was to be a speaker. He wanted to get speaking gigs. He's a leadership expert. And he wanted to write a book that was kind of like Tuesdays with Maury, which is like stories and talking
right.
about his mentor and this friend of his who's done so much for his business. And I was like, okay, that's great. Well, let's dive deeper into what your goals are. And after that, I said, okay, so what if you wrote a book around drive and determination and risk-taking, and we talk about these topics and things. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's totally a better book. So I get people with no idea, and I get people who have too many ideas, and I have people who have ideas that are the wrong ones. And they all have the same process. The process is think about what do you want to happen when people finish your book. What's the goal? Do you want them to come buy a product? In which case, you want to write a sales piece. You want to overcome objections. You want to explain how the product's going to make their lives better. Do you want them to hire you for a service? Do you want, you know, if you're an accountant, you want them to come and trust you. If you're an accountant, trust is a huge thing. So this piece is about building trust, and maybe you have a few case studies, and you have client stories, and you have your procedure that you go through. You want to figure out what the end result is, and then you want to figure out who's going to be reading this book. Who do you want to read this book? Who's your target market? Then you figure out, okay, how can I help my target market solve a problem, reach a goal, get inspired to do something or create something using my book that will eventually lead them to want to come to me for other things. For the birthday cake example, maybe you're writing a book about all the different cool designs that you've done in your business, and you want people to either come and hire you to create their cake, or you want them to come and buy specialty cake baking things like sprinkles and frosting or whatever.
Right, so either
one of those goals is good, and a book that features your amazing designs will reach both of those goals. And the people who are interested in birthday cakes, whether they're interested in hiring someone to do an amazing birthday cake or whether they're interested in purchasing the materials necessary to create their own, both of those groups of people can be served with that same book. So that's how you've come up with what to write about. You come at it from the end. Figure out your goal, figure out your target audience. How can you help them reach some desired end result of their own?
Okay, so big important question that everybody asks. What's more important, the cover of the book or the title?
The cover, absolutely. Because we register pictures faster than we register words. And I'm not a designer, and I hate saying that. But I think that the title is actually part of the cover. I consider all of that one thing. But the cover is what sells a book. Just like in copywriting, the headline is what makes people read down to the next paragraph, right? So your goal with a cover design, including the title, is to let people say, okay, this book is for me and I'm interested in it, and then they will flip it over, and the back cover is the second most important thing.
Right.
Because what they do, they pull a book off the shelf, they look at the front cover, and if it looks amateurish, if it looks, I hate to say look self-published, because self-published books are amazing and they can be done really, really well, but there are certain self-published books you can just tell. You know, you can say, oh, that they didn't spend a lot of time or energy on the cover. And so those books get put down, and the ones that look professionally designed, they look amazing, they have great cover, they have a great title, then you pull it off the shelf, you flip it over, and you read something on the back that intrigues, and that is designed to help them open to the front cover.
Right.
So absolutely, the cover is so important.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the whole point is you have to get somebody to pick up the book. And so if there's nothing appealing, then they're not going to pick it up. Totally not.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
And that goes for whether it's online or offline.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so I know that you've been a ghostwriter for so many people. What about you? Do you have your own book coming up?
I have five. And they're all in, just like everybody else here, in various states of completion. My next book coming up, the one that is going to be published very soon, is Book to Back End, How to Write a Book That Builds Your Business. And it's basically my process of helping people go through what I do when I ghostwrite. Because I can't ghostwrite but so many books in a given year, and I can only help so many people, and I get so many requests that it's like, okay, it makes the most sense to write a book that's going to help them do it on their own and give them the sequence of events that I do when I go through writing a book for other people.
Awesome. Well, you know we're going to run out of time, so I want to make sure that everybody knows how they can get access to you, how they connect with you, how they stay connected. What's the best way for people to do that?
The best way for people to get in touch with me and learn about what I do and actually get some free help with writing their own books if they want to is to go to my website, julieanneeson.com, and there's a lot of E's in there, so let me spell it, JulieAnneeEason.com. And if you go to julieanneeson.com/gift, there's a whole bunch of resources there. There's some templates, some outline formats that you guys can just pick up and use. There's no opt-in necessary. It's just a free gift for you guys to take and run with it and write your own books.
Great. Well, Julie, thank you so much for sharing the mic with me today. I am looking forward to staying connected and keeping up with each other to figure out what's going on. And I know there's lots of people that are going to be reaching out to you that want to write a book.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Judy. And everybody out there, I just want to say one last thing, which is you can do this. If you feel like you have something to say, say it. Write your book. Even if you, even if it never sees print, the process itself is worth doing.
Absolutely. And I have to say, the first time I saw my book in print, I burst into tears because it's an overwhelming experience, and it's awesome.
It absolutely is. Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Judy.
Thank you. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap up today's show with some ideas about another kind of strategic planning. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. So let's wrap up today's show with some ideas about making your personal strategic plan. So in business, we know that strategy and growth go hand in hand. You create a game plan to achieve your goals. That includes a mission statement, a step-by-step strategy, and a timeline. You hold meetings, you make calls, you invest. And all of this planning comes together to make your goals attainable. But when you think about your personal goals, it's not always that easy, but definitely as valuable. So if you have goals to reach and if you can identify those goals, let's talk about how to get it done. And again, your personal board of directors can assist you with this as well. So here's some steps that may not look a lot different than your business strategic plan, but this is for your personal. So this is strictly personal. So first, create a personal mission statement. That's right. What are your intentions and what is your level of commitment to making it happen? Next, if you don't have that board of directors in place, now is the time to choose who they are. Make sure you have people with different levels of experience in different industries. And you'll need someone to help you celebrate as well as call you out when you're veering off your chosen path. Plan your strategy. Now that you have your mission, your goals, and people to help you make it happen, what's your plan? It's time to build that roadmap that will help you identify relationships, opportunities, and resources and carefully craft that with a course of action. You'll still need to measure your progress even though this is personal because you're ultimately responsible for your success and your growth. Having someone to hold you accountable just might be the thing that gives you that extra push in that right direction. And remember, a dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action makes your dreams come true. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.